communion after the message, and you'll know why after we get done. So, because we're going to start the new year really cleaned up, right? All right, so last week the Holy Spirit broke off a lot of fears, worries, and concerns. The first step was we recognized the fear and came forward as an act of faith so the Lord can begin the healing process. And a lot of us came forward and started that process, and it was awesome. I began last week with Isaiah 43, 1. Let me read that to you. I'm going to read it out of the Passion. I know you don't have that translation. It says it like this. In Isaiah 43, starting in 1, it says, "Do not fear, for I, your kinsman redeemer, will rescue you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. And when you pass through the deep, stormy sea, you can count on me to be there with you. When you pass through raging rivers, you will not drown. When you walk through persecution like fiery flames, you will not be burned. The flames will not harm you, for I am your Savior, Yahweh, your mighty God, the Holy One of Israel." And that's a promise. So for the past few weeks, the Lord had been speaking to me about breaking off every form of fear out of our lives, and he knows us, and he knows what we're going through in our life. The Lord wants to move mightily through us in our next season that we're entering into, and in order for him to move, we have to be in a position of faith. If we get in a fear or we panic whenever we hear or see negative things, we aren't in a place of trust and peace. Now, I said this last week, this message is of love, not shame or condemnation. It is meant for us to be set free from the clutches of the evil one. And a quick review, I'm going to go real quickly on some major points, and then I'll get into the overcoming fear. So last week we said that fear is a force, and it comes in many forms that Satan uses to kill, steal, and destroy. Satan knows if he can open the door to fear, he can do whatever he wants to do, and he knows what fear can do to stop God's plans. Fear fuels the enemy. It empowers him. Fear brings us into a place of procrastination and can paralyze us to move forward. Now, the remedy to stop fear is we have to expose it, face it, and break and destroy it. Truth sets us free. Last week, we discussed what fear is, the traits, the symptoms. Now, today, we're going to discuss how to overcome fear. So we are going to crush its head so we always have victory over it. Now, I said there's good fear and there's bad fear. Good fear is, which is the fear of the Lord, which is a respect for God and a reverence. Also, there is a natural fear that keeps us away from an outer danger. We want to hit on the bad fear. That's the fear that can cripple us. That's the fear the Lord wants us to break free of. It is our enemy. Say, fear is our enemy. Fear is our enemy. In general, fear in the Bible is a recurring theme shaping human experience. It can be a paralyzing emotion or a reverence for God. The Bible teaches that fear does not come from God, but is a scheme of the devil, and we all know that. True fear is the beginning of wisdom, leading to a deep respect for God's power and authority. Fear has several effects on people, including it triggers the body's fight or flight response, leading to psychological changes like increased heart rate and adrenal levels. It alerts individuals to the presence of danger or threat. It produces biochemical and emotional reactions, chronic or uncontrollable fear can lead to or worsen mental health conditions such as anxiety, depression, PTSD, and substance abuse. Now, if you weren't here last week, the message from last week is on the website. Okay, Trish promises it will be today. In order for you to understand everything, you got to listen to that message because I can't get into the depth of the whole thing. So as I continue, the word fear is mentioned 500 times in the Bible, and the phrase fear not is mentioned 365 times. Fear is defined as an unpleasant emotion caused by the threat or perception of danger, pain, or harm. It is protective primal emotion that alerts us to the presence of danger, of the threat of harm, whether physical or psychological. Fear is closely related to anxiety and can be rational or irrational, real or imagined. Here are some types of fear that is mentioned in the Bible. Fear of the Lord, like I said, this is a reverent and respectful fear of God. Is not a fear of punishment or harm, but a reverence of God's sovereignty, holiness, and power. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and instruction." Now, there's fear of man, and this is a fear of what other people might think, say, or do to us. It can lead to anxiety, people-pleasing, and compromising our values. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man lies a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe." Fear as a result of sin. Sin can cause us to feel guilty, ashamed, and fearful of punishment. Adam and Eve, for example, felt afraid and hid from God after they sinned, and that's Genesis 3:10. Fear of death. The fear of death is a common human fear, but the Bible teaches that Jesus had conquered death through his resurrection, and that those who trust in him need not fear death. Hebrews 2:14 to 15 says, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, and that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery." So death has been broken. Fear of the future. The future is uncertain, and we can easily become anxious and fearful about what might happen, and that's even day by day, right? And Jesus tells us not to worry. Every day, don't worry. Don't be concerned. However, the Bible teaches that God is in control of the future and that we can trust him to provide for us and guide us. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make our path straight." Okay, fear of the unknown. Fear of the unknown is related to the fear of the future, but it can also refer to situations where we're uncertain or unfamiliar with what is happening around us. Again, the Bible encourages us to trust in God's guidance and to remember that he is always with us. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you." Fear of failure is a common fear that can hold us back from taking risks and pursuing our goals. However, the Bible teaches that we should not be afraid to take risks and that God is with us even when we fail. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Fear of the enemy. The Bible acknowledges that there are spiritual forces of evil in the world that opposes God's people, but it also teaches that we can overcome them through the power of God. 1 John 4:4 says, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world." Okay. Hear that? Who's greater? In us. Fear of persecution. The Bible teaches that the followers of Jesus will face persecution and suffering, but it also encourages us to endure and persevere in faith. Matthew 5:11-12 says, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you also." Fear of the future judgment. The Bible teaches that there will be a final judgment in which all people will be held accountable for their actions. Excuse me. This can be a source of fear for those who are not sure if they are found righteous before God. However, the Bible also offers assurance that those who trust in Jesus will be saved from judgment. Amen. The Bible says there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you are saved, I believe you're always saved if you truly became saved. Right? No one can snatch you out of God. That's what it says. Fear of consequences of sin. The Bible teaches that sin has consequences. This can lead to fear and anxiety for those who have committed sins or who are struggling with temptation. However, the Bible also offers the hope of forgiveness and restoration through repentance and faith. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And the last one is fear of the supernatural. The Bible acknowledges the existence of supernatural beings such as angels and demons, and this can be a source of fear for some people. However, the Bible also teaches that God is sovereign over all things, including the supernatural realm, and that we can trust in his protection. Psalm 34:7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them." Now, the Bible always has a remedy for all things, including fear. Okay. So I also talked about the traits, symptoms, and causes of fear. And I gave you a very short study information from Psychological Study of Fear. Now, I listed all these clinical fear disorders characterized as phobias, anxiety disorders, and PTSD. All these clinical fears, no matter how excessive they are all under the blood of Jesus, and they all can be healed. Amen? Nothing is too difficult for God. Now, please listen to last week's message on fear. It's our enemy for all the details, like I just said. It's too much to repeat today to understand all the manifestations of fear. This information can help you, and it also, we may encounter people that need our help, and we can recognize, okay, these people need some help here, and we could try to get them help. Okay, now let's get into overcoming fear. We need to expose the fear, face the fear, break and destroy it. This message can help us and others to be delivered and to be set free. God wants for us to be transformed. Now here are the steps to bring us into inner healing, because that's what we're talking about here. First of all, ask God to help you to be delivered of the fear, and you may not even know what it is. You know you're fearing, but you don't know what it is. Let God show you. Like last week, some of you said you got a picture in your mind of where the incident or the scene happened. Just ask him to show you, and this could be the root cause of the fear. I'll try to go slow because I know some of you are taking notes. So you may have learned fear from parents or a relationship. When you were little, you were learned how to fear because your parents or whoever was around you taught you how to fear something. And then it escalates as you get older. You may have gone through a trauma in your life. Now, once you identify the fear, now give the fear over to the Lord. And I think we did that. Almost the whole church came forward last week. Just give it over to him because he cares for you. When we cast off the fears unto him, we begin to allow God to work on our behalf. It's an act of faith and trust. But if we hold on to the fears, it continues the door to be open to the enemy, and he will use it against us. If the Lord has shown you where the fear started, go back and forgive the person or the people involved, and forgive, also forgive the incident or the situation. Also, if necessary, forgive yourself, and you may have to forgive God. If you're harboring any bad feelings, you may be having bad feelings against God because you said to yourself, he didn't act quick enough, or he didn't stop something from happening. And a lot of people go through that, okay? That's really important. Forgiveness cleanses us and releases all the ties from the circumstance or the situation. Now, the past can't hurt you any longer. That's what God wants to get rid of, because he wants us to go forward, cleaned up, free. Now, after you do those things, pour the blood of Jesus over all the people, yourself, and the situation that happened or the circumstance. Break off any soul ties that you may have had with the person, if necessary, meaning any close ties you may have had with this person could be an intimate one, business relationship, close friendship, family member, etc. After these acts, you may experience a lot of crying. This just shows that you're being emptied out of all the grief and all the fear. It's a form of cleansing. So don't be afraid of that, okay? It's normal and it's good. If you're still experiencing excessive fear, worry, and concern, and you cannot control it, please see me privately and we'll get you some help. God will destroy the fears and begin to heal you. He wants you to be free. And I'm going to read Isaiah 35:4. So you may need to go back on this message also if you didn't get everything that I just said, okay? It says here in Isaiah 35:4, say to the anxious and the fearful, be strong and never afraid. Look, here comes your God. He's here today. He is breaking through to give you victory. He comes to avenge your enemies. With divine retribution, he comes to save you. He wants to save us today from fear. So hear what the Lord is saying today. Let God be in control of fixing. He turns all evil things around for good. Today he wants to turn these things around for you. Be free of the past so we don't bring it into our future. familiar scriptures is 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety, that is all your fears, all your concerns, all your worries upon him, for he cares for you. He loves you unconditionally. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, reminds us that God didn't give us the spirit of fear, right? But of power, we say this all the time, but of power, love, and a sound mind. This world runs on fear. We will always face some kind of fear because we live here. But we should always stay in a place of peace, love, joy, and trust. No matter what we hear, what we see, don't panic. Don't fear. Don't worry, because we are in him and he will work it out. We just have to stay in prayer, worship, and praise. This is how we fight our battles. I mean, we sing the songs. This is how we fight our battles. How do we fight our battles? Amen. Okay. As soon as something creeps up on you that is negative, cast it down right away. Get it out of your head and get it under your feet, and don't meditate on it, crush it, destroy it. Don't give life to the fear. If you need to ask God for it, wisdom, ask. Don't try to figure things out. We do that all the time. And it never turns out the way we try to figure it out. So don't waste your time. When the Lord says the battle is his and the victory is ours, he means it like this. In order for him to help us, his battle is to get us in a place of belief and faith and trust so he can bring us into the victory. The Lord said to me, tell them it's like this. It's just like this. It's just an illustration. Two magnetic forces. One magnetic force is good. That's God. The other one is a force of bad, which is Satan. These forces can pull on the energy that we give out. And that force gets attracted to that magnetic force. So if you're in fear, doubt, and unbelief, that magnetic force of the enemy will be drawn to you and pull you into his arena, keeping you from your victory. The enemy knows if he can keep you in fear, he's got you. And he wants to try to keep God from intervening on your behalf. Now, if you're in faith, trust, and belief, then God is drawn to you to bring him into the situation to help rescue you and bring you the breakthrough and into your victory, because faith pleases God. Then all things are possible, right? That's what the word says. So fear is a force and faith is a force. Use your energy in the faith part. Don't put the energy in the fear part. In order to always stay on God's side all the time, we have to keep our armor on so the enemy doesn't come near us. Keep him under our feet. The armor of God is very important. That's how Paul illustrated it. But first, the helmet of salvation. It covers our head, covers our minds. Where's the battle start? Right here, right? You have to know about your salvation. Very important. What Christ has done for you, who you are in Christ. You have to know he loves you. He doesn't want to see you hurt. He wants all the good to come for you. Remember, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, not God. I keep repeating that because a lot of people believe that. need to stay in faith and trust in him regardless of any situation. We have to gird ourselves, meaning be ready to stand firm in the power of his might. We need to know the truth in his word and all his promises so we could stand and keep standing, praying in the spirit. And we will always have the victory. These are things we have to do on our own to be fully convinced that we will have the victory. If we do our part, God will do his part. He works together with us. We're always waiting for God, but he's waiting for us to line up with him. Okay? When the two of us line up, poo, power. Now let's take a quick look at the life of Job. Ooh, perfect example here. Job was a blessed man, a man of prayer. He trusted God. He had a lovely home. He was prosperous. He had a faithful wife. He had sons and daughters, servants, flocks, and herds. Life was really good for Job, but he was about to face the most difficult trials and circumstances which many of us have faced or will face, because every day has its own troubles. Satan begins to accuse Job of being faithful to God and love God only because he had all the riches, blessings, and comforts that God gave him. So Satan predicts to God, God, Job would curse you if I took away all his riches and blessings. So God allowed it. But he told Satan, don't you kill him. Now, it was Satan, not the Lord, who afflicted Job, ruined his estate, and stole and killed all his livestock and servants. It was Satan, not the Lord, that caused the mighty wind to collapse a building on top of his 10 children and kill them all. It was Satan who caused Job to become covered with terrible boils from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Job's lack of understanding of Satan's evil conflict, together with misunderstandings. Job had lack of revelation of the evil one and his evil ways. At that time, there was no Holy Spirit. And we are really fortunate today. Very fortunate. That we have revelation, knowledge, and understanding from the Word and the Spirit. So Job's lack of knowledge made Job cry out in pain and said these words, what I fear has come upon me, what I dread has befallen me. Job 3:25. The very thing you fear will come upon you. He regretted being born and he wanted to die. I know many times when we go through some bad trials, I remember wanting to die too. Anybody else been there before? What didn't help was his friends and his wife, because they didn't understand either. They criticized him and they told him false doctrine that God only rewards those that are good and punishes those that are evil. Job believed what they said, but he didn't curse God. His wife said to him, curse God and die. But he wouldn't curse God. Job's losing everything was so painful, and he complained, but he never cursed God or blamed him. Job faced his loss and accepted it. And a long story short, Job repents, prays for his friends, and the Lord restored the fortunes of Job twofold. That's all written in Job 42:10 through 17. Tells of everything that was restored back to him. I think this is where we get the phrase, double for your trouble. Is that right? I just thought that because, I don't know, it came to me when I was writing this. Job's misfortunes had nothing to do with Job's sinning, as his friends believed. God is neither the source or the instigator of evil. We, on our part, are not to fear what may come to us. We are called to trust and hold fast to his promises, even when we do not understand. How many say that to you? Lord, I don't understand what you're doing. Why is this happening to me? All the time. Well, sometimes he doesn't tell you why. That's where trust comes in. Now, we live in a world that runs on fear. Satan is the god of this world. Jesus said, in this world we will encounter persecutions and tribulations, but count it all joy because Jesus overcame them, and so do we. Keep the fear out. It's our enemy. Allow faith, trust, and belief to rule. Amen? Now we're going to receive communion. Hallelujah. This is a time to get ourselves in the right position with God. Take this moment of time to forgive, forget, put it all under the blood of Jesus. Remember the covenant that we have with Jesus. Let's enter 2025 cleaned up and pure of heart. So he could really do mighty wonders and miracles like we've never seen before. Amen. Okay, Steve and Sam, can you come up and give out the elements? Not the envelopes, the elements. Thank you, Jesus. Sure thing. Thank you, God. Okay. Lord, we enter ourselves right now. We're doing this in remembrance of what you did for us. So, Lord, you want to come back for a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And the first thing you want us to not live in fear anymore. Never panic, never worry. Really, really trust and watch how God will move. He needs us. He wants to move for us. He does. So let's just judge ourselves right now. That's what the Bible says. I'll read what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11. If I handed down to you what came to me by direct revelation from the Lord himself, the same night in which he was handed over, he took bread and gave thanks. Then he distributed it to the disciples and said, take it and eat your fill. It is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He did the same with the cup of wine after supper and said, this cup seals the new covenant with my blood. Drink it, and whenever you drink this, do it in remembrance of me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're retelling the story, proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. For this reason, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in the wrong spirit will be guilty of dishonoring the body and the blood of the Lord. So let each individual first evaluate his own attitude and only then eat the bread and drink the cup. For continually eating and drinking with the wrong spirit will bring judgment upon yourself by not recognizing the body. That's Jesus' body. And he said, this insensitivity is why many of you are weak, chronically ill, and some even dying. Now I want to add to that, because in 1 Peter it says, 2:23, it says, this is the Passion. When he was verbally abused, he did not return with an insult. When he suffered, he would not threaten retaliation. Jesus faithfully entrusted himself into the hands of God who judges righteously. He himself carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we would be dead to sin and live for righteousness. Then it says, our instant healing flowed from his wounding. Instant healing flowed from his wounding. Lord, thank you. Lord, we just come before you right now. We ask forgiveness of all of our sins. All the people we may have to forgive right now, Lord, you put that person or people in our minds. We forgive all the situations and the circumstances that may have happened to us. We put them under the blood. Forgive us, Lord, if we sinned against you. We forgive you also, God, if we said or put any bad feelings towards you for any reason, Lord, and blamed you for our circumstance. Thank you, Lord. Forgive us for fearing and not trusting you. Lord, we all want to start this 2025 pure, holy, cleansed, and trusting you. Thank you, Lord. As we eat this symbol of bread, which symbolizes your body that you so freely gave for everyone, we're so grateful, Lord, that you gave it so we can be healed of every sickness, every disease, all the wounds that you took upon the cross, beside the sicknesses, so we can be innerly healed too. You took on every curse in your body, and you redeemed us from the curse of the law, poverty, sickness, and death. You broke the spirit of poverty. You took that on your body. You became poor so we can become rich. So we take this bread right now to remember you. Now we remember, Lord, of all the places of blood that flowed out of your body, Lord, the seven places. It covered a multitude of sin. You took on everybody's sin, past, present, and future, so we could be sinless and have the possibility of not sinning anymore. And live in righteousness. And Lord, we know sometimes we sin, Lord, and you said as soon as we confess it, we're covered because of the blood of Jesus. There's no fear in love, perfect fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Your love covers all our fears when we trust you, because that's how we love you and trust you, because we have a relationship with you. So, Lord, we thank you that you forgave us of all our sins. As we drink this symbol of the blood, Lord, we just thank you for everything. All the stripes on your back and on your body, Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus. You may drink the cup. Thank you, Lord, that we are made whole, healed, and delivered. That's why he did it for us on that cross. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Wonderful Lord. Thank you, Lord. As we come to a close, if there's still anything that you need to come forward for, or if you like to step up because you didn't do it last week, or if you did it already sitting there, whatever, don't hesitate to come forward because it's an act of faith to get rid of all those fears or concern, because the Lord wants us free. And you know, carrying all those things is not good for our bodies or our brains. That's why he made our bodies. He made it in such a way. He knows best, right? So, Lord, we just give you praise right now. Lord, we thank you and praise you for the year 2025. It just sounds so futuristic. Lord, we thank you that the 8 years that we've been through, Lord, is covered in the blood. All the deaths and all the sickness and disease and all the garbage that we encountered, Lord, and all the things from the government and all the fear and the rumors, all that stuff, Lord, is under the blood. That doesn't mean we don't stop praying. It means that you have something good for us coming. And Lord, we're looking forward to that. And we'll continue to be strong in faith, in prayer, and in our praise and our worship to you. And we'll never keep our eyes off of you, no matter what. And we bind Psalm 91 around us and our family right now. We believe and we trust in you, Lord. And Lord, we know that no matter what happens, you will turn it around for good. And you will always keep us. And no one can snatch us out of your hand. So, Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus for your goodness, your mercy, your compassion, and for loving us. Amen. Amen.